You are listening to the JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levi.
And we hope you enjoy this episode. So, after a week break, welcome back to another JP Show. Good morning, Rabbi Levi.
Good morning, everyone. Great to be with all of you.
So, how was your Shavuot?
Shavuot was amazing. We had a packed house here at Binah throughout the night.
Yeah, it was actually incredible. So 2 a.m.
Yeah, the young and the even younger. It was a lot of real learning, solid learning upstairs, downstairs. It was all happening.
Yeah, I have to say, I think this was one of the, they were all good, but this is one of the better ones. This is really...
Yeah, it was powerful.
And then we had an amazing crowd the next morning to come and hear the Ten Commandments. Packed house. Do you have something to eat?
Of course. Followed by cheesecake.
Cheesecake.
Very, very important part of Shavuot.
For sure.
And it was really a week of a lot of eating. Because we had Tuesday night was Yom Tov, and then it was Tuesday morning, and then Wednesday night, and then Wednesday night, and then Wednesday, and then Thursday morning, and then it was Friday, and then we have Shabbat right afterwards. So it's like,
So it was a two-day chag in between two Shabbases.
That's right.
And you know what happens? I have to admit that I got in a bit earlier, like before Shavuot, I noticed the prepared cheesecakes. I really, wanted to make sure that it was all okay for Shavuot.
You tasted.
Yes.
There is actually interesting. It actually is a concept in Jewish law. I'm not sure about Erev Yom Tov, but Erev Shabbos says on Friday afternoon you're supposed to actually taste from the food of Shabbos to make sure it's good. It's just to check it out.
Yeah, the only problem is on taste.
That's right.
I'm not sure if you have to eat like a huge piece, just taste,
That's right. So let's discuss that actually. Eating is quite prominent in Judaism.
Huge.
It really has a very prominent place. Obviously, Shabbat we have meals. In fact, on Shabbat you're supposed to have three meals. One Shabbos, some people there's different ways to do it, but this Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon, and then of course Yom Tov. It says you're supposed to have even more than Shabbos meat.
Also, what's interesting is that every festival has also a specific food that it's connected to.
Well, most festivals, yeah.
Most festivals, yeah. Way we eat, whatever. It's all about eating.
It's where we eat, yeah.
Like Sukkot is about where we eat, like we should eat in the sukkah. Pesach has lots of foods attached to it.
Of course.
And it's interesting, I was always thinking about it, even Yom Kippur, that is there fasting.
That's right.
Like we have this whole thing about you're supposed to eat two meals before Yom Kippur.
And then meal afterwards. And
you're supposed to have a celebration meal after Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're out of the eating system there.
Yeah.
Hanukkah's donuts.
Yeah. Hanukkah, of course, and Purim and
Komentashen, yeah. And then cheesecakes and the cheese.
And the truth is, it's not only festivals, it's every occasion. By a wedding, it's not only because it's a nice thing to eat by a wedding, it's actually an obligation. You're supposed to have a meal, and then so it's actually considered a big mitzvah to partake in that meal by a bris. It's such a big thing to eat by a bris. There's even a custom that we have that we don't actually invite people to a bris because it says that if you invite people, they actually have to come. So what we do is you sort of notify people.
Right.
That it's such an important meal. Like if I'm invited to it, I actually have to show up.
So wedding, for example, is called a suudat mitzvah. It's like a mitzvah to partake. Yeah.
Yeah. If someone finishes a tractate of Talmud, make a meal. It's an interesting thing, right?
So I think the point is clear. We're connect almost every experience with eating.
Yeah. Why?
Oh, that's a good question. So, let's explore the question for a little bit. Like, Judaism is about connecting to God. It's about becoming a more refined person, being connected to a higher being, purpose, meaning. So it almost sounds like this kind of undermines it a bit. Like everything is such a physical thing. Like it's all about eating. And like it's a huge emphasis. Like I think we've just gone through. I think we've made the point very clear. Like it's very, everything, yeah. Everything is about eating. So I think it really is a very, very special and deep idea, I think, right? I was thinking about it once around Hanukkah time specifically. Only because I happened to be thinking about it then, because I was thinking about this idea. And Hanukkah, there's a custom to have donuts, right? Which or latkes, although it was basically fried in oil.
Oily foods.
Yeah, and I was thinking the question there becomes like so emphasized because like, so Hanukkah is about lighting candles, right? And many people light the candles not just with wax, but actually in oil, right? But like, kind of, there's not enough for us. Like, we have to produce these beautiful lights. And they all symbolize, spirituality and the soul. The soul is represented by a candle and all this kind of stuff, right? Then comes Hanukkah, and we light the candles, and that's like the main mitzvah of Hanukkah. And yet, no, it doesn't seem to be good enough. We've got to actually make a food full of oil. It's like why? But I think then I understood maybe this is the
And
idea.
the truth is, just in terms of a second, same thing as with Shavuot, actually, if you think about it, one of the reasons, there's like hundreds of reasons why we eat milk foods on Shavuot. But one of the reasons is because milk is actually very, it's compared to the Torah is compared to milk. It's like milk gives life to a baby, the Torah gives us life. But it's like we spent the whole night studying Torah, but that's not good enough. We have to actually have like a food that symbolizes Torah. Like,
Right.
why isn't it just, let's just,
So
you know,
exactly, that's very much the same point. I mean,
why do we need the analogy? Let's actually just have the actual
like
thing.
staying up to learn on Shabbat night, there's also different reasons, but that makes sense. Like the day we got the Torah, so maybe today we should dedicate ourselves to study Torah, right? It's like, yes, I think the reason is actually very deep. In fact, it really goes to the heart and the essence of what Judaism is, right? Judaism, of course, is about study. It's about spirituality. It's about prayer. It's about connecting higher. It's about really going out of ourselves and sometimes being a bit more metaphysical and being more spiritual and so on. But in Judaism, that actually is a means to an end in a way. In other words, that's not where it stops, and it shouldn't stop there. The ultimate purpose of Judaism is actually to connect it to the physical. And when we talk about connecting to the physical, I mean, all our mitzvot, or many our mitzvot, are all physical, a physical mezuzah, candles, tefillin, and so on and so forth. But food has a very, very, very important significance. The idea of food is it's the only thing that we actually ingest and we internalize, right? And I think this is the idea. So, for example, come Shavuot, we talk about the Torah, but the Torah and us, we are very physical people, right? The Torah and us can remain two separate things. We can learn Torah, but it's not who we are. We haven't ingested it, we haven't internalized it, right? Same thing with Hanukkah candles. We learn in Kabbalah, the candles of Hanukkah represent amazing depth, like the deepest part of the soul, and that was won the war against the Greeks, and all these kind of things. But the question is, have we internalized the message? Meaning, have we applied it to the way we live our day-to-day physical life? Is the way we do business, the way we sleep, the way we act physically, the way we live our married life, or whatever, has that changed because of these principles? Has that changed because of our connection to these ideas? And one of the lessons of connecting it to a food is a reminder that we eat the festival, we eat the experience. Even by the way, it comes to a wedding, you talk about a wedding before, right? Why is it a Suddat mitzvah? Same idea. It's not just, people know that a chuppah is a very spiritual experience, right? People don't often associate spirituality or holiness with the wedding meal. That's a mistake because actually, no, that's where we bring down all the blessings. When a chatan and kala, bride and groom, go under the chuppah, that's very special. We bring down all the blessings for them, and the chuppah represents the transcendent light of God and all kinds of different ideas. But then, when we dance at a physical meal and we say l'chaim and we actually eat to celebrate with them, and we do it in a proper way, we're actually hopefully bringing down the blessings to be very tangible, to be very real, to be very concrete. So it's actually applied. It doesn't just stay a theoretical concept or a spiritual detached idea. It actually becomes part of who we are and part of the reality, the physical reality.
Yeah, and I think that's a very important explanation because I think it leads to another point. And that is, if the eating on festivals, weddings, whatever the Jewish occasion is not just about eating, it's actually the culmination of the spiritual experience. It's the purpose of the spiritual experience. Then it actually makes a difference how we eat and what we eat. In other words, if the eating by, let's take a wedding, for example, I don't know why I'm thinking about a wedding, but anyway, but it's a nice thing to think about. If and should Shavuot is a form of a wedding, actually, because Shavuot is the wedding between God and the Jewish people.
Correct.
If the meal by a wedding is just because, you got married, so let's have fun now, so it's pretty much irrelevant the way it's done, what is eaten, and all that. But if the purpose of eating by a wedding or by a festival is to take the spiritual experience and internalize it, then we need to make sure that the eating is done in the correct way, which obviously first and foremost means it needs to be kosher. I mean, obviously we have a wide audience here and everyone's on their own journey and that's fine. But I think it should be strongly encouraged that if you're doing something Jewish and you're trying to experience Shabbat or festivals or a wedding, to have a kosher, because otherwise you sort of almost like it's hitting the purpose in a way. Yeah, it's being the purpose of the whole thing. But it's not just kosher. That's obviously step one. I think it needs to be done in a kosher way also. It's not just about, I mean, obviously it is about being actually kosher, but it's much more than that. It's also about being refined, not overdoing it. I don't know if it's a problem in Australia because the kosher options are not, I mean, we thank God have kosher options, but it's not the same as in America, for example. We have like 70 different types of donuts on Hanukkah and 15 different types of kosher meats and then all that. I think what tends to happen is it's like, it's technically kosher, but it's not really.
Right. So I think you're raising a very, very good point. If we say that the emphasis on food is actually part of the religious experience, and it very much is, I mean, something that's just like customs, like we eat Hamantash and Purim, which is also very important, but some things are like real mitzvot. Like on Pesach, you have to eat matzah in the sukkah. On Sukkot, you have to eat in the sukkah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, there's a command to eat. You know, before Yom Kippur, there's a commandment to eat and so on. If it's part of the religious experience, so we have to make sure that we don't lose our way a bit. Like, you know, you raised such an important point. Like, I'll tell you a good joke. We were talking about Hanukkah before. You know, I once saw a meme, because all these great memes go around these days. So I once saw a meme that a person was talking about how he fulfills the custom of eating donuts on Hanukkah. She says on the first day he has one, on the second day he has two, and then the third day he has three. Till on the eighth day he has eight. You know, like the Hanukkah candles. Right. So it's a very funny meme. But the truth is that there's a lot of depth to that, because we have to be careful. You know, I think, if I can be blunt, right? So like me and you, for example, I mean, we don't have to be taught that. We don't have to be encouraged to make our weddings kosher. It's a given. We are observant, but we have to be...
Our greatness, by the way. That's just because we were born that way.
Yeah, just we were born that way. I mean, right, we're used to that. But I think we have to take heed too. We have to also say, well, you know, if you eat a donut on Pesach, I mean, donuts are not the healthiest thing.
Not on Pesach. On,
I mean,
on,
no, sorry, God forbid.
Definitely don't want to be eating a donut on Pesach.
No, I mean...
Nowadays, you never know. I'm sure you can find the...
A kosher Pesach donut. No, you never know these days, right? So there's the indulgence aspect. I mean, I think if you have one donut on Hanukkah, no one's going to die from that, and it's fine. You know, in moderation, it's good once in a while. But then we start indulging, and you start going crazy. And then, like you say, you know, over here we don't have it so much, but in America, you can get like, you know, 23 different types of donuts and custards, and it becomes, you know, we lose the focus about what we're trying to experience here. It's a custom. It's holy. It's okay to enjoy yourself a little bit on Shabbos and on Hanukkah and on Purim and on Shavuot and, you know, good yummy cheesecake is fine. That's great. And good recipes is fantastic. But we do have to be careful. Like once you start, like you say, once you start going crazy, by the way, same thing with Pesach. I mean, I like it's really, I mean, I mean, the things you can get on the kosher of Pesach, again, not so much Sydney, you know, here we're lucky if things were in stock that year. But just generally, I mean, if things like, for example, they now have kosher Pesach pizzas. I mean, seriously, you can do a week without a pizza. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not. So I think what we have is it's all technically kosher, but it's not in the spirit of kosher. In other words, now first and foremost, food has to be kosher. Let's make sure that that's clear. But you're right. It's not enough. It needs to be in the spirit. Now, if you're eating because it's a custom, a Jewish custom, if you're eating because it's a mitzvah to eat, if you're having Shabbos because it's a mitzvah to enjoy yourself on Shabbos. But it's not a mitzvah to be animalistic about it and to be overindulgent about it. So we have to, I mean, we do have to take that. That's a thing to work on. It's a thing in progress. I think none of us are completely guilt-free here. Like, I think we definitely take that to heart. We need to understand why we eat, so that we should eat in a bit more refined way and a bit more controlled way.
Right, right. And also, besides just going more on a basic level, besides for actually being kosher, also there's blessings we make before we eat, after we eat. Right. All these things, if we do them properly, actually is supposed to give us focus for the while we're eating. We make a blessing on the food. You think about for a moment, God created this. We're supposed to eat this for the purpose of serving God. And then we thank God afterwards for the food. And it sort of gives perspective on...
But it's also how you make the blessings. So like, I mean, again, you know, some of us grew up that way and we just make blessings. And it's very easy just to mumble them and not be mindful about them, to use a modern term. But It's an amazing thing. If we actually stop before we ate and say, like, who gave us the food? Why are we eating? And for what purpose? We probably wouldn't have to explore so many complicated diets and nutritional experiences. We just ate disciplined and sort of in moderation. Even if we filled all the donut and cheesecake customs, we'd probably be fine for the most part.
Right. Just to go on a little bit of a tangent, it probably is connected, because like you always like to talk about, people like to go to extremes. Let's just talk about kids for a moment. So, kids, in a way, this is actually even more important when it comes to kids, in the sense that when it comes to a festival, kids are not, spending a whole night learning. They're not necessarily even staying the whole time in shul. I mean, sort of the spiritual aspect of it is not what they really experience. It's actually what marks the festival as unique is, in a way, food, or even Shabbat, like a Shabbos treat, and things like that. You do have, I mean, again, it's just an interesting discussion in its own right. It's not knocking anyone's parenting techniques, but you do have some parents who go to the extreme. They never give their parent they never give their children anything with sugar, any sweets, anything ever, including Shabbos and Yom Tov. And when it comes to Hanukkah, maybe they'll give them like a quarter of a donut or something. Why don't you talk to that? Like, what when it comes to kids, like, is it such a big problem if you give them a Shabbos treat and something a little bit not 100% healthy? Does that make Shabbos special for them? Or maybe that's not the right way to do it.
So I think that's a very, very good question. And I'm going to take it even further. So I once got into trouble because I was involved in a school and I encouraged the custom of eating donuts on Hanukkah. And I got in trouble because in schools now there's a big awareness of only having healthy things and we shouldn't be encouraging kids to bring donuts. We shouldn't be giving out donuts in the school. And I totally disagreed with that. Now, let me just preface that, right? I do think that kids today are spoiled, and it's a problem. And in fact, sometimes if you spoil your kids, then the donut isn't even special anymore. So I think, first of all, it has to be as part of a bigger picture. I think parents do need to be more aware during the week or on a regular day. Healthy kids we do know more about health today, and it's important. It's a mitzvah to be healthy. We shouldn't be just stuffing our kids just because we want to make them quiet so they shouldn't bother us and all that. And no is a good word, and delayed gratification is critically important. However, once in a while, on the contrary, in a kid's life, what makes Shabbos special is that Shabbos treat.
Right.
What makes Shavuot special is that yummy cheesecake. What makes Hanukkah special is that donut, right? So everything in moderation. I think extremes are no good. So no, I think parents need to work on not indulging their kids and not spoiling the kids on a regular day. But specifically giving those treats because that's what gives them. There's a custom. I just thought of this now because I remember this custom that when you teach children to read Aleph Bet, right? Teach them the holy Hebrew calendar, the holy Hebrew alphabet, I mean, to put honey on the letters and let the child lick off the honey off the letters so that the imagery in the child's word, they associate the Torah and the letters with sweetness, right? So the country, the children should, in a child's life, to look for us to look forward to Hanukkah for the donut or Shavuot, the cheesecake is a bit cockeyed. It's we should be looking forward to the spiritual experience and then eat to fulfill the customs and enjoy it, to internalize it. But in a child's life, it's actually no, they look forward to it because of those things. And that's how they know it's different, right? And I want to take it one step further because when I got into trouble that time, I actually wrote an article. It was actually Hanukkah time. I don't know why we sort of directed at Hanukkah today, but
It's a true Bina style. We plan things like 7 months in
planning
advance.
6 months in advance. So I wrote an article called "Donuts of the Brain," and the point of the article, if anyone wants to take an email, us we'll give them the article. But
The article.
the article was that I appreciate the fact that you want to be very healthy, but also I asked the question. I challenged parents that you're very, very careful not to have something sweet go into your child's mouth. What are you putting into their brain? Like, are they on screen time, like for hours each day? Are they on their phones? Are you on your phones? Are we making sure that we feed the brain in a healthy way? So that's something to bear in mind also. The discipline that we want to put into children and what we want to withhold from them also has to be balanced and in the right areas and the right things. So that was a long answer. I'm just saying very briefly, spoiling children is not a good thing, but sometimes giving them a treat on special days and especially connected with Jewish customs and Jewish experiences actually leaves with them and imprints in them, in their mind, a very, very beautiful association. And that's what they remember. That's the simcha, that's the joy they remember from these special days.
Yeah. Okay.
So those are had cheesecake. I hope you enjoyed it.
You exercised well this week.
You can walk it off this week. This is coming Shabbat in just another 5 days.
That's right.
4 days, whenever you hear this. So you'll have another treat coming up your way. But let's remember what it's all about and stay focused.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.